It is the Rokan Show right here, 3 to 7, every afternoon on 720 WGN. Let's start with talking about what is now being announced in Minneapolis, in Minnesota. The Attorney General of the state has upgraded the charges against the police officer involved in the death of George Floyd to second-degree murder, and then three other officers have been charged with aiding and abetting. And Dan Herbert is joining us. He's a Chicago lawyer who represented Jason Van Dyke in the Laquan McDonald shooting, as well as many other police officers throughout your career, Dan. What can you explain first what this upgrade means? What's the difference between what he was originally charged with and what he's being charged with now?
Sure. Thanks, Ro. Thanks for having me on. This officer was originally charged with third-degree murder. Minnesota's one of the few states that have 3 degrees. Most states, like Illinois, have 2 degrees. But the original charge was third degree, which is essentially perpetrating an act that eminently is dangerous to others and having a depraved mind without the regard for life and without an intent to kill. Second degree in Illinois is essentially it's a murder without the intent to do so while committing another felony crime. So that's the prong that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the state proves that other felony crime. I would assume it would be an aggravated battery of some sort.
So that's in Minnesota. It's the same situation in terms of the parameters of the law as it is here, then, right?
Well, not really. I mean, it's here, like, first-degree murder in Minnesota requires the proof of premeditation, which would be really, really hard to do here.
Right. You went out with the intent. You woke up that morning, or at some point you intended to kill somebody before you actually did it, right? Okay, in this case, this is committing a crime somebody dying during the commission of another crime. And so, therefore, that's why it would qualify. What is the difference in terms of burden of proof, though? I mean, they're going to have to prove that it was aggravated battery. If they can't prove that, that seems like that may be a bigger hurdle, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, the third-degree charge, you know, in my opinion, from seeing that, I think that would be a layup. But, charging second-degree, you know, they're going to have to prove that, obviously, cause of death, which would not be difficult. He had no intent to kill this individual, but he was committing another felony crime. And in Minnesota, unlike most states, they authorize the use of pressure on the neck area for police officers when detaining a suspect, and that's either through arms, hands, or legs or knees.
So this is have you defended cases like this before? Like not a murder necessarily, but excessive force cases where this chokehold has been used?
I have. I've defended so many officers in use of force cases. I would say that this would be one that I would have trouble taking on. It's a case that to me is just it doesn't seem based in any plausible defense that I could come up with.
There's a lot of lawyers never let that get in their way. But Dan,
well, and that's true, you know.
Yeah, but what I would ask here is that, and the issue is, and I don't want to be misunderstood here. Everybody agrees that what this guy did was wrong. But if he's there in the commission of his job and he's trying to restrain the guy and he's legally able to use the chokehold, then that could present a problem with the murder side of that, the second degree murder side of it. My question is, how prevalent are chokeholds? They're trained, aren't they? Aren't officers trained in that? And isn't the intent of that to try to actually knock someone out so they stop resisting?
Yeah, they used to be. I mean, I was trained in that when I was a police officer, but they have definitely gone away from that. And the especially when it's a situation where there's positional asphyxia, where you have somebody handcuffed, lying on their stomach, and then the use of a choke is even that much more dangerous. So
yeah,
there's no basis for it. But I looked at their training statute, and you know, technically, they do allow for that. Now, the prosecutors would argue that, okay, well, maybe he was allowed to do that, but at some point it became unreasonable, and I couldn't argue with that.
So, but why is it used? Why would you do that? Is it really so that they lose consciousness? Is that the idea?
I think that's what it was originally, to be quite honest, when people were dealing with violent individuals who were really, they were on handcuffed. You know, they would have some type of a chokehold to temporarily knock this person out so they can gain control over them. Thankfully, departments have gotten away from that, but certainly in a situation where an individual's in handcuffs, you know, I don't care who that person is. They could be Mike Tyson, but if they're in handcuffs, you have four officers there.
Yeah,
you should be able to handle a situation without choking somebody.
Right. Again, I don't want to be misunderstood here. I'm not trying to defend the officer in any way, shape, or form. But what I'm trying to do is understand what he walked into there, what he was trying in his mind, what he thought he was doing. And it seems to me that they had struggled with George Floyd for a number of minutes there. And then my guess is, in talking to police officers throughout the last couple of days, like, why would a guy do that? And again, I have not spoken to a single police officer who thought that this was okay. Not a single one. And I'm not, and again, being very careful to let you know that I don't think this is okay either. But in his mind, was it possible that he didn't want to have to deal with this guy again? So if he knocked him out, he could call EMS and have them take him away, have an ambulance take him away, as opposed to them having to deal with it. And that is just trying to get into the mind of a guy like that is tough, but that seems plausible.
Yeah. I agree. I doubt this individual had any intent to kill this person, but I think there was either some mental disorder going on, or this individual just had an unreasonable fear. And, I don't know what his background is, but when we're hiring police officers, me personally, I think it's good to have somebody that has a background where they've been involved in some type of combat, whether through sports or through physical confrontation, because they will not overreact in those situations. When it's the first time somebody has come across an individual that confronts them, they are going to be amped up and they're going to react disproportionately.
Yeah, well, this guy clearly did. Hey, and one right before we let you go, and I want to take some phone calls at 312-981-7200, is there a risk of an overcharge here? Because if they do lose this case, all hell's going to break loose.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that I don't know if the third degree would be a lesser included. I don't think it would. But I think that, going to trial, they may decide that the third degree charge is the more appropriate one to go with.
Okay. But right now, it seems very political, and the attorney general of the state, obviously former congressman, and it was formerly of the, a big muckety muck in the DNC, and it seems like and I get what they're trying to do. I mean, I understand that they're trying to meet the fury of the public here, but that's not the lady with the justice and the blindfold and the scales and all of that. This could backfire on them, and I would hate to see that happen, because this officer must be held accountable for what he did in some way, shape, or form. All right, Dan Herbert, Chicago attorney. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your expertise on this.